problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.
Although, just so you guys know, even before all of this, I consider myself a feminist.
Really, Arnold?
Feminist is a person that thinks men and women should be treated equally. I fully support that. So, my good sir, I'm a feminist.
Wow, I'm really impressed you knew that.
Dude, I know tons of fun facts. For example, did you know that all the ants in the world weigh as much as all the humans in the world? I'm just saying, if they possessed our intelligence and could somehow organize, it'd be a fair fight.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, it's Kevin Nealon, and you're listening to the Homie Broadcast.
Yeah.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com. Will Koontz, back with you, your host, the person that talks to you at 6:15 p.m. on Sunday evenings here on RadioSt.Pete.com. I hope you're well. I'm doing fine. Be sure to subscribe to HMB Radio on podcast in case you miss it on RadioSt.Pete at 6:15 here on Sundays or 10:15 p.m. in the evenings, or even 4:15 a.m. if you're a morning person. I'm not, but some people are, and this is the internet, so people can hear it all over the world. So maybe there's people in Germany or France or one of those other dumb European countries. No, I'm just kidding. I love you guys over across the sea there. Love you guys. I hope you're safe. You know, I never know. I don't want to talk politics on this thing anymore. I feel like it's just going to get me in more trouble and alienate. Because the thing with politics is you can either people are going to agree with you or people are going to get really mad at you because they think, especially now, if you're either a communist or a Nazi, and depending on where you sit on the spectrum. So if you're a little bit on one side, you're one thing, and if you're the other side, it's crazy. So I don't want to talk politics, but another bombing this week, a big one in at an Ariana Grande concert happened earlier this week. Terrible. What can you say? I hope if anybody is listening over there, I hope everybody's okay. And yeah, condolences. And that's all I'm gonna say about it. I just, you know, not for any reason. I have my own feelings about it, and I'm sure a lot of other people do too. You know, anyways, I don't even know why I brought it up. Shouldn't have brought it up. Talking about Europe and people listening on Radio St. Pete over in Europe, potentially. That's how we started on this. Remember to subscribe to the HMB Radio on the podcast. You can get it on iTunes. I noticed our Stitcher was down for a period of time on Stitcher Radio, but Amy over there at Blog Talk got me hooked up. Because, you know, it's really unfortunate with this world of podcasting. You kind of have the world at your fingertips. You all you have to do is upload it to these sites, and they in turn distribute it, you know, to people wherever they're getting their podcasts. Maybe somebody searches a key phrase or something. And, you know, maybe this show will pop up. And, you know, you kind of have the world at your – you have the whole world as a potential listening audience with this podcasting stuff, which is cool. But unfortunately – I don't know what I'm doing as far as the tech ends of this stuff, I really am learning by kind of trying to do stuff. But actually, Steve from Ion Tampa Bay, when he was here a few weeks ago, he's an Android guy, I guess, and said he couldn't find the show on Stitcher. And that was news to me, as far as I knew, that was still happening and appearing on Stitcher Radio. And I went and signed in with my account, and it, for whatever reason, I just couldn't get to where I needed to be to figure out what was going on. But thank you to Amy over at Blog Talk. She got it fixed. I checked it today, and it's back up on Stitcher. So wherever you get your podcasts, I'm pretty sure if you're either on iTunes or Stitcher, you're on them all at that point. So, yeah, subscribe, you know, keep up with what's going on. HMB Radio Tampa Bay, it's really easy to find. While you're there, if you would be so kind, please leave a little rating, 5 stars, you know, and then maybe write a little something, just, hey, cool, or, you know, whatever. Just, you know, it really only takes a minute. Really helps us out. The more ratings you get, the higher you go up in the rankings or whatever. Again, I don't know what I'm talking about, but I've been told that that's important. So make sure you do that. And let me send you some stickers. I still got a bunch of these HMB Radio stickers. They look like the iTunes cover photo. They're cool. They're like those tie-dye. It's got the St. Pete sign in the background. So, yeah, let me send some of those to you. Just send me an email to thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com, and I will do so. And make sure you check out hmbradio.com. Just to get that contact info. I got our phone number on there, which is 813-693-2124. That's a voicemail line or a text line as well. So you can get in touch with us there on the show. Big thanks to our sponsors. As always, I actually talked to Tap House 61 Joe now. He used to be Sly Bar Joe. No longer Tap House 61 Joe now. And I've got the place fixed up. I think we're going to go grab a beer, hopefully this week. Maybe tomorrow. Hopefully that would be good. 2061 Central Avenue. They have 25% off customer appreciation. Or no, sorry. I think it's hospitality. I just saw it and I clicked on it and it went away. Where is it? Craft Appreciation Night. All hospitality and service industry people. 25% off, 9 p.m. to close. That is it Tuesdays? Yesterday. Yeah, it must be Tuesday nights where they do that. So 9 p.m. to close, 2061 Central Avenue. Go get yourself a beverage, 25% off. The thing I noticed with those hospitality nights, you can just lie. Because they just ask you, well, where do you work? And you just go, I work at Tap House 61. And then they go, oh, okay. I haven't seen you there, but all right. And then you just get your 25% off. So, hey, go grab a drink. You know, don't tell them I told you the secret. But I'm pretty sure you're smart enough to figure that out yourself anyways. And then their website, taphouse61.com. Thanks, Tap House 61. And also a big thanks to Chrissy Parker over there at Truvy Salon and Spa. Here in St. Petersburg, the best place I know to get Botox. I've never got Botox, but maybe in the future there might be a service I'm going to get from Chrissy Parker and Truvy Salon and Spa. They're located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B there. You can make an appointment. You just call the phone and then give them your name and make an appointment. 727-329-9751, and you can look them up. Just put in the Google machine Truvy. That's T-R-U-V as in Victor, Y, Salon and Spa.com. The info there as well. Thank you, folks. And, you know, any businesses out there that want to become a sponsor, hey, you know what you can do. You can hit up that email or that phone number. Give me a call. So we were supposed to have Jesse Cage this week. Jesse Cage is a longtime broadcaster here in the Tampa Bay area. When 98.7 changed formats a while ago, he was, I guess, tired of the back and forth and is understanding the importance of this new digital world that has potential for broadcasting and showcasing certain things. So he's decided to start a new program. But unfortunately, I got a online program, I should say. But unfortunately, he got, I think he was in the hospital, actually. And at first, I was like, yeah, okay. And then I saw that, I just thought he didn't want to do it. But, and then I saw he canceled. He was supposed to judge his thing at the Hard Rock the next day and had to cancel that. So I was like, oh, are you serious? So hopefully Jesse will be in next week. But I got a really good replacement guest this week. And not really a replacement. He's just a week early. It's supposed to be Jesse this week. But Sean Gloria is an actor here in the Tampa Bay area. He was on here, I guess it was, I don't know, sometime last year. And just a good dude, lives in the area now. So he's got some new stuff, new projects coming up, and he wanted to come in and talk about them. Always happy to talk to Sean. So I said, sure, man, let's do it. So this week on the Homemade Broadcast, we have actor Sean Gloria. And let's get the show started, shall we? Sean, welcome back to the podcast. One of our few, well, not few, I've had a few return guests, but welcome back.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. It's good to be back.
It's happy to have you, as always. We kind of bonded after the last time, and then we were supposed to meet up for beers, and it just, with our schedules both.
You disappeared on me. You broke my heart.
I'm here, but it's like if I'm here, I'm either working or sleeping, and then, you know, you know how it is. You're working two jobs now.
Right, yeah.
It's exhausting. You got two back-to-back.
I'm a starving artist on top of it.
So, yes, and you're pursuing other tasks as well, yeah. Do you ever worry that you have AIDS sometimes?
Sometimes, yeah. especially after I left here when we did that first one, because you know, you got me all vulnerable, and then I got all used up, and then I never heard from you again.
Yes,
so I went and got checked out, but I'm good as far as I know.
That's
right
good.
Now, so.
I feel like I was doing the intro, and I looked at it. It was 10 minutes long, and pretty much me talking for 10 minutes, and I was so out of breath. By the time it was over, I had to, like, catch my breath. I went and got a coffee and sat down. I'm really concerned about my well-being at this point.
Yeah, I think you'll be all right. You'll pull through.
Well, I stopped.
We were gentle.
I stopped smoking the beginning of the year.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
That makes two of us.
So I feel like, I don't know how long it takes for your lungs to purge all that stuff out, but I feel like it's still happening.
I mean, I'm no expert, but from what I understand, the lungs have the capability to like regenerate pretty fast.
Right.
I actually quit smoking as well, and I feel like after like 2 solid weeks of not smoking, I can feel a difference.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But then I mean now I'm about 7 months in myself.
Uh-huh.
And it's unbelievable. Like between workouts or like jogging or whatever, or like I'm riding a bicycle a lot now. I feel like I can go for days.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I feel like that's part of my problem is I don't jog. And I probably should go for a jog or go for a bike ride. That would help.
I will be the first to admit that jogging sucks.
Yeah.
And I hate saying that because it's such a wonderful thing. It's so, like, functional and it's so great for you. I'd prefer a bike of just, like, constant pedaling. But I feel like it's still just not quite as good as a good run, you know?
Running, I mean, you feel like you did something. A bike, you know, you get a little something. You get sweaty. But I just don't feel like you get that, like... You know, even if you're kicking hard, like I've ridden a bike, I got them there, but you don't really gas for air. Like I feel like you need to gas for air.
I think you need like just a constant. If you put it in like a low gear that takes like, I don't know, a lot of effort to push through, it might be a little bit different. But I feel like it's so much easier to reach that point with jogging.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
Yeah, I was pretty good for a while. I think it was like last year I started going, and I was even getting up early on the weekends and going because it's too hot during the day, so I wanted to go early.
Right.
So I'd wake up early Saturday morning, go for a run. But it wasn't long enough to, like, keep the habit because I got the flu, and I was down for the count for, like, 2 weeks. So I was, like, down, and then I tried to get back. I was like, all right, I guess I should go for a run. And I was like, nah, it ain't happening.
You know what I heard recently, actually, that just made me think of is that they, I guess they debunked the 21-day habit myth.
Oh, really?
Where, like, people, it takes 21 days to develop a habit.
Yeah, that's what I had always heard.
Or, like, break a habit or something like that. I can't remember. But I guess it's a myth. I guess it's closer to, like, 60. Like, 60 days.
That makes more sense.
Fully fledged quit.
Because I feel like I was going about a month. I was, like, fully into it. And then I just didn't. didn't stick. But
fell from grace.
I get the feeling like I need to do something. Like I did 10 push-ups the other day.
Right.
In a row, I might add. Which I was surprised I got 10 in, frankly.
Yeah.
But I got 10, The next day I woke up and my back and my triceps were so sore for 3 days. It was humiliating. Right. So now I'm like, I got to do something.
That's a part of being human, brother. You know, it's with consistency that that number will rise, you know, and you'll do more and more. So it's just a matter of doing it. Going right back to jogging, it's just a matter of getting your butt out of bed or, you know, out of the door and actually doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And typically the first 10 minutes is horrible.
Yeah.
And you want to throw up and you want to cry. You just want to stop and give up. But I think after those 10 minutes, you start to feel kind of like that runner's high, if you will, and then golden from there. You don't want to stop until your calves give out.
I think the runner's high is just, I can stop now. And then you're just like, oh, my God, thank God I can stop doing this.
I did something.
I feel so good I stopped doing it. I did it, and now I'm done.
Okay.
And that's it.
Yeah, it's like it's a reward.
Right.
Yeah, your body rewarding itself. Like,
that's
thank you for not being a complete lazy.
Endorphins are rushing from being able to stop that cruel exercise.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
So what's been up, man? I know it's been a year. We talked a little bit beforehand, but I know you got some projects you've been working on.
Right. We talked about quite a few projects. Some of them are just kind of floating around, like Festival Circuit or whatever. But one of them that I'm pretty excited about right now is Followers. I had mentioned that we were about to start filming, or we just finished filming last time about a year ago. Well, Followers sold to a distributor in Miami, and they've got deals in China, the United Kingdom, Thailand, and the U.S. So we've got lots of deals that we're looking at, and then there's a potential limited theatrical release in the States as well.
Oh, cool.
And hearing that as an actor, you're kind of like, you get all giddy and happy.
Sure.
And, you know, that's kind of like a big thing, and it's a fun movie. It's a fun movie to make. You know, there's a lot of interesting times, like hiking through Florida State Park at 5 o'clock in the morning while it was raining, and there's like snakes and stuff everywhere. So it's fun. Fun experience.
What's your character?
He's somewhat of a filmmaker, but he wants to make a point as to why posting our lives on social media can be dangerous. And so he and one of his friends, who is like the filmmaker, pledged to make a documentary on how easy it is to find people and track them down just using their social media pages. So they kind of target a couple that are life casters, and they put everything that they do online.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of use them to set an example.
Well, that's kind of what's happening today, I guess. I'm sure that's where the idea came from,
right.
Of course, from real life.
Right.
Have you noticed, I've really backed off my social media as far as what I put on there. And, I pretty much, like Twitter or something. During the election and stuff, I would be chirp, 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 chirp. Now I'm just like, listen to this podcast. It's good.
Right.
This really made me pull back. I don't know if it was because of the election. I was just saying before, too, I was like, I brought up that bombing. And I was like, I don't even want to get into this. Why am I going to bother?
Start the storm, you know, because it's so easy to trigger people these days with anything that you say, especially across social media, because everybody's an internet hero and, you know.
Well, you have that anonymity. God, I can never say that
I can't either.
Anonymity? That's it.
Is that it?
I can never say that.
First try.
Nice.
Of course. I've never
done
that before.
I feel like I gave you some help. But
you did. You definitely set me off.
Definitely.
Yeah, you loaded the slingshot on that one.
I noticed that when you do see these, you know, fights that are on Twitter and stuff, usually they're not real pictures of people. There's some, you know, cartoon knight or something as their avatar.
Right.
So they're just...
Or it's like a cow or something ridiculous, yeah.
Yeah, it's LARPing. It's fighting, you know, with a mask on.
At the end of the day, it's all distraction, man. Like, people get so caught up in their emotions, especially when they're, like, yelling at strangers, you know, through the internet, and it could be like so productive with something else, but they just choose to waste time screaming at other people.
But then, you know, I kind of feel sometimes on the other hand, I'm like, well, this person gets to say whatever they want. Why shouldn't I be able to say whatever I want
to? Right, and then that's where it starts, and then you fall down that rabbit hole,
and
you say all these things, and then like, you wake up the next morning and it's like you got completely drunk the night before. And you're like, oh, my God, where did I do that? And then you start sending sorry texts.
Yeah.
Trying to delete all that content.
Like, Facebook now is, I don't even really put photos on there anymore. Right. I might put an occasional
joke.
I really don't either. Yeah, I'll like, you know what it is? Facebook has become is kind of like the new, remember AOL Instant Messenger?
Yeah.
That's what Facebook is for me now. I just talk to people on there, on Messenger.
Yeah.
That's about it.
I hear you. That's, I actually, for a while, deleted the Facebook application and then kept the Messenger app.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would, like, prevent me from getting distracted and, like, falling into that, the scroll hole, if you will, the just infinite scrolling.
Yep.
For no reason. Looking for something to catch my attention.
Memes and propaganda and propaganda right. memes.
Exactly.
That's all it is,
animal
pretty much.
Animal videos, fight videos. Yeah. Just like, good Lord, man.
Which are entertaining in their own right.
Garbage.
But yeah, it is trash.
And that's the problem is that it is entertaining, but it's trash entertainment. And, you know, absolutely nothing is getting done from falling into that hole. So.
Yeah.
But.
Well, these, I don't know if you noticed too, like I've noticed these Facebook videos popping up with, the food ones I don't mind. Like the recipes, those are cool.
Right.
I always watch those every time.
They edit them together so well too.
Yeah.
They're always like that bird's eye view when there's like hands moving all fast, throwing stuff.
Yeah. So it's, I think they really nailed down the shortness of the attention span that human beings have because they're just long, they're like a minute 30, you know, around there. That's about it though. I mean,
there's like research going on.
Oh, yeah.
Just because they can track like so much data through Google Analytics and just how much time someone spends on a page or watches a video before they click away or like, it's insane, man.
Yeah. I mean,
just using all of that data to make it
produce more videos
to produce more advertisements and like how effective can we be by, you know, following the behavior. It's pretty brilliant actually.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I the food ones I love, but then there's the ones that try to explain a complicated geopolitical issue in 45 seconds.
Right.
And you're missing a whole bunch of the story, even in these large articles. You have to read these multiple articles in a day if you want to really know what's going on.
And then you always got to like, some of these articles I come across, man, it'll be about like, oh, Donald Trump, or it'll be, you know, whatever's current in the news. And then when you click it, it takes you to this page, and there's like so many misspelled words, and like it's like it was written by a fifth grader instead of someone with a journalism degree. And then every single thing around that article is like pop up like ads and just like the entrances to all these different funnels of like random information.
Do you know what that is? That is freelance journalists who are just trying to eat. So they write 5 articles a day, pound them out. There's no research being done at all. They're just pretty much, it's all opinion.
Right.
For the most part.
Are they getting like kickbacks for featuring, like for ad space or something? Is that how they're making their money?
I don't think so. I think it's just per word they get, you know, a cent a word or something like that. So they just pump out as much as they can in a day just to eat. They don't know what they're writing about. And that's the cruel thing about there's so much content out there and so many creators of this content that you just can, the free market, I guess, is kind of working and they can pay these people nothing because they want to eat food and don't want a real job.
Well, and that's the thing is everybody's trying to work remotely now. That's like the thing to do is if you can find out how to work remotely and not have to report to an office of some sort, or you can work from some, you know, from Turks and Caicos and awesome.
I got to figure out a few of my friends do that. And that's becoming more and more common. And my day job is I do clerical work for a structured settlement company. So we work with a lot of insurance companies and adjusters. They're all at home. They don't go into the office. They go into the office maybe once a week.
Yeah.
But they're all – I would hate to do that.
Yeah, I don't know that I can be that productive like at home. I feel like
I don't
there's
think
just
I can
too much
either.
To do. I mean, I have ridiculous amounts of animals, which I think we talked about last time. And then it's just – there's always something to do at home that distracts me from work.
Sure.
So I have to go somewhere. If it's not an office, it's Black Crow.
Yeah.
You know, Kawa. So
I would like to get a studio where I can go and do this so I can get out of the house because I kind of feel like there's too much, I have just too much stuff here. It's where I live, so I have everything that I own is here. It's just so much distraction.
And every little thought and desire that comes to you, like your home provides for those thoughts and desires.
Yeah.
So it's like if you're sitting there and you're working on something and you're at a studio and you're like, I'm kind of hungry, but I have to leave and go out to this, you know, out to lunch and like get be served and so on and so forth. But if you're at home, like, well, that's a deterrent. But if you're at home, it's like you just go pop open the fridge. But you don't realize that you're kind of wasting like 20, 25 minutes doing all that.
I wonder too, is if it, even if it's good for your, like your mental health, because you have a place where you work, which is usually stressful, and then you're bringing that home with you. So your energies are getting thrown off. Your home is supposed to be your sanctuary,
right?
You know, and now it's become
shui.
Yeah, it's become a workplace. So I wonder if it's really, you know, good. But that seems to be what companies are switched to, just because they can. I mean, everything's online now, and they don't have to open these buildings. That they have, they don't have to run the AC. They don't have to provide chips, you know, in the break room. You know, they can. They don't have to buy office furniture. I mean, it just makes you know, economical sense.
Sure, a little cheap. The rent one's probably the, you know, the big one. But ironically enough, I'm sitting here thinking about like being locked in my home and stuck there, and that's the overall premise, and I guess this is kind of somewhat of a shameless plug. How are we looking on time, brother?
Oh, plenty of time.
Gotcha. The film that I did after Followers is actually about a guy locking himself in his home. It's called Alone, and it's based on this guy. A virus breaks out, and this guy boards up his house in order to stay away from the virus. And he finds this old CB radio in his home, and so for kind of like entertainment
starts purposes, a podcast.
That character's name's Will. And no, he starts talking to these people on the radio, and they start convincing him that his house might be haunted. And then he starts kind of like seeing things that show evidence of that. And it's about him just kind of like unraveling this thing. So it's kind of like a thriller.
Is it because they want to get into his house and get his stuff or something? No, there's no reason. Oh, you can't give that away. Yeah, I guess that would give away
But I mean, it's in post-production. It's going to be 3-4 months before anything on that is available. But it was a really fun shoot. I got to live on set, lived in this little built, like this guy that we shot in his house. His name's Randy. Awesome, awesome guy. There's a section out in front of his house that it looks like a carport that you like pull under.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a closet space in there, like storage. But he built it into a room that could quite literally go on like Airbnb. Mm. So like air conditioners, a computer in there. It was like a mini fridge. It was awesome. I lived in it for 2 weeks while shooting. And it was probably one very cool experience. I don't know. I don't want to say it was like the best experience because I don't want to offend anybody. But, I mean, it was super cool. Pretty chill.
So are these the Followers and the Alone, are these full features or are these shorts? So like hour and a half? Yeah.
Followers is about 1:20, I believe, and I'm not entirely sure when Alone is going to be, but it is a feature-length film. I kind of took a step back from acting a little bit. I did, like, a couple shorts, and then I started realizing a trend where we were shooting things but then never showing things. And they were just ending up on the cutting room floor, and I'm kind of like, well, if I'm seeing this trend and, you know, none of these are being finished, then I'm going to stop doing them, you know, and so I started kind of focusing on other things, tried to go into insurance for a while because I was like, you know what, I'm just going to be an adult and get a career set, and that lasted like a week. Yeah, it was probably, it was much more than a week. I got licensed in like 2.5 weeks. I got licensed in like 21 days for a 90-day test.
Yeah, it's easy.
Really had my heart set on it.
It's really easy to sacrifice what you want to do for comfort.
Right.
And I've definitely considered it, too.
Yeah.
But I feel like at the end of the day, I want to be able to say I at least gave it a shot of being able to do what I wanted to do. You know?
Right, right.
And I already see the benefits and gains from it. I know your craft is even harder to break into. And really,
like acting and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that it's harder because I imagine that, you know, radio is no walk in the park, you know, and acting, I think, is just so oversaturated that it's hard to get the attention that you need in order to show that you're talented. And that's not even to say that I'm talented. I just choose to hang out in a market that's that I'm comfortable with, that there's less people around, so that way I can make more of a name for myself easier, I guess. But, dude, I mean, I think pursuing any sort of art and then being able to pay your bills from said art is a challenge.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, I can't. And I get really depressed when I see, you know, guys at the station that are on air that work a second job because they don't make enough money. And they're doing, you know, 5 days a week. And then granted, it's 4 hours a day and it's a fun part-time job. But it's nerve-wracking thinking about, you know, what the future can hold out of this. But, I mean, with acting, it's kind of, I feel like radio you could potentially do anywhere. You can just kind of, there's radio stations all over the place. But with acting, there's not really a lot of grants or what do you call that, money here to shoot movies.
Incentives.
Incentives, all of tax that. Incentives.
Right, right. And I never really liked getting into all of that just because I feel like it was just a conversation that I was hearing. Like every time I stepped out of the house or went to a networking event, it's always incentives, 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 incentives. Mm-hmm. And it got to the point where I just kind of didn't want to hear it anymore. And it's like I'm just going to do this as a hobby because I enjoy it. Because the more I try to make it a career, the more stressful it becomes, and then the less I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I think if somebody wants to pursue acting, I mean, you can do it from places like this if you're willing to travel to Atlanta mm-hmm. or Louisiana, you know, quite often. I know a lot of my buddies that were out here took off to Atlanta, and they are working, like, full-time out there. It's a lot of extra work, so they're making, like, $64 a day. And then they'll land projects here and there that might pay a little bit more. And that's fine because they want to be that working actor. I didn't really enjoy sitting around on sets twiddling my thumbs, you know, as an extra. And that's not to demean it at all. I do multiple things, I guess.
Yeah.
So,
well, your time's limited.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So
Sean Gloria is joining me on the homemade. Your last name's Gloria, right?
No.
What is it?
It's Gloria.
Okay. Sean Gloria is joining me on the Homemade Broadcast this week.
What's up?
You said earlier that you've done these projects that they end up just nothing happens with them.
Yeah.
Meaning they're completed and then somebody puts it on a DVD and puts it up on a shelf somewhere?
Meaning they're not completed.
Not completed.
Yeah, and it's going to happen anywhere you go. It happened plenty in Los Angeles. I imagine it happens in Atlanta all the time. It was just, and obviously I'm not going to like name names or anything. I don't want to throw anyone under the bus because I still love and adore these people. I think, but the problem is that they got to pay bills too.
Yeah.
And so when they shoot this passion project and they're super amped on it and they start, you know, getting into editing and stuff, and then they realize like I'm running out of money, they start taking jobs working on bigger productions, in order to pay their bills, but then they get so caught up in like trying to stay ahead of their bills that that project just sits on the cutting room floor. And I don't think it's ever that filmmaker is looking at it like, ugh, I don't want to do that. It's, I don't have time to, like, I literally cannot afford the time to work on a passion project because I got to keep my lights on.
Right.
And so it's an unfortunate thing, but like from an actor's point of view, it's just kind of like, it was a reoccurring trend. It happened to like three projects in a row. I'm just like, okay, I guess I'm just going to kind of pick and choose. And then that puts you in a tough spot too, because then people reach out to you and they're like, hey, we want you to be a part of this project. And you're all sour from the last three that just fell through. And you're like, I'm going to go sell insurance, man. So, and unfortunately like that the insurance thing fell through, and then, some really good projects were done, and like one of them went to Cannes, you know, so really successful things that like I could have auditioned for and potentially been a part of, and that would have been great. I missed out on that because of my own, I don't want to say it was ego, but my own bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the key, or the moral of the story, if there is one, is to just keep your head up and not get bitter when things don't work out the way that you want them to.
Right, right. So are these things that are kind of self-finance, or did people find financing for these projects?
They were self-finance. So very, very, like, almost textbook, like, indie, short, passion project. Very cool. Had a lot of fun shooting them and would love to, see some footage and stuff like that. But I guess it'll come around when it comes around. So maybe I'll just get a nice little surprise in the future. Like, hey, look, we finished it. And then, jump for joy.
How do you do that if they got this one thing that you did for a while, and then years later they come back to it, and everybody's aged 6 years?
That's the thing, is like, I hope it just comes out before I outgrow it. You know what I mean? I don't know. I feel like every 2 to 3 years I probably should, have new footage because age.
But is there a few filmmakers here that are kind of the guys that are doing that, or ladies, that are the main people, or is it just how many filmmakers do we have like here in the area?
There's actually a surprising amount of filmmakers in the area. And there's a lot of good ones. And, I don't know. So this is what we're about to move into is completely separate from what I was talking about with things being left on the cutting room floor, because I don't want anyone to think that what we're talking about now is associated with that. Because, again, I'm not throwing anyone under the bus. But if you were to ask my opinion, top filmmakers like in the area that I've experienced, Ryan Justice and Ian Longan, which we worked on with Followers, and that's not simply because I work with them often, but one, because we sold a movie. I mean, that's not easy to do at the level that, you know, we managed to do it. Dominic Smith, he did Reset, which I had mentioned before, but the guy just continues to pump out, like, quality content. He just won a BMW. Like, he won a motorcycle that was customized by Norman Reedus from The Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon, with BMW out of Sarasota, because he made a Walking Dead commercial that was just so darn good that he won that bike. So he and Scott Sullivan are doing some really good things. And, I mean, there's plenty of other great filmmakers. Those are the ones that I keep in contact with the most. Josh Knopfs is another great one. And he's just such a good dude that, like, you can't help but just love it. Well, all of them, really. You can't help but love them. They just got infectious personalities. They're all teddy bears, and I like teddy bears.
So I would imagine there's probably the work that is around here.
That's really weird.
That's okay. That's a weird show. It's all right. So I would imagine that the production that does get done in my head is that there's a lot of commercial work probably here, and then these guys are saving that money and deciding to make a feature out of it.
Right. So I think a lot of these guys, you know, end up taking work with, like, HSN. HSN's, like, a massive thing out here. I don't know about, like, QVC or, I don't know, they might be. I'm not sure. But it's a lot of commercial and, like, infomercial work from what I understand.
Yeah. I saw that guy, you know, Billy Mays' homeboy, Andrew Sullivan. He's the British guy that does all the infomercials.
If I saw him,
you would definitely know him, 100%. Definitely. Yeah, because he was in all those. Yeah. He's a slap chop guy. He did them all. And I saw, I was working my, I do this side gig, is doing registration for, like, foot races, and he was, like, running the race, and I was just like, this is that guy. And I wanted to ask him to be on a podcast, but then I was like, what am I going to talk to him about?
Right.
He's just a rich, successful guy that does infomercials. Huh. What would I possibly talk about? I mean,
rich and successful in doing infomercials.
I guess so. I guess maybe you could share some wisdom on that, because I think he was one of them that kind of had this idea to do infomercials and just kind of started doing them. I don't know if he did it himself. Maybe it would be interesting. Maybe I should have asked him, but he kind of seemed like he was cocky a little bit, too. I don't know.
I imagine if you're rich and successful.
Then. Yeah. He was like, oh, I'm actually heading home shopping now to go do a shoot. And I was like, oh, cool. I didn't know what to say. Neat.
Cool,
that's
dude.
Dope. I think he lives, like, right on Shore Acres, though, in some massive
figures,
home.
Figures. Yeah. Probably, like, Snell Island or something.
Yep. That's where all the rich people live. Yeah. Longoria bought a house over there.
Oh, I think I heard about that. Yep. Yeah. I don't know. They all want to, like, get away from L.A. and New York, I guess, and come to Florida. Live on millionaire life.
I guess he signed, like, a 10-year contract or something.
And how much is that worth?
I think it was, like, $44 million.
Was that with HSN?
No, that was...
Oh, different guy.
Oh, talk about Longoria, yeah.
Yeah, lost track.
Yeah. I don't know what Anthony Sullivan... Let's look it up. It's the good thing about the internet is you can just look these things up.
Right at your fingertips.
Really slow down the show, but...
While you're looking that up, I need to backtrack because I feel like a big jerk. The Jalbert brothers are another really good one. That's who I just shot Alone with, and... didn't have a whole lot of experience working with them before, just lightly on 10 Seconds to Run, which I mentioned before. But they really won me over with Alone, man. It was, if anyone has a chance to get in contact with them and see what they got going on, I highly recommend it. Because I think they're actually about to move out to Los Angeles. But just even for advice, man, they kind of got their niche going. And they're,
are these like brothers?
Smart. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, send them my way. Tell them to come do a show.
That'd be awesome, dude.
Yeah.
To do that. Because... yeah, man, I think they got a lot of good information to share that is based around helping people and not so much bragging, you know, about what they're doing. But
so they're going to pursue the same career out in Los Angeles?
Yeah, they put some money away, and I think they're looking to get a studio out there and kind of put multiple aspects into the same building. So they want to connect aspiring filmmakers with aspiring actors and writers. So they want to attract, like, this group of people that will all collaborate and then in turn make movies together and try to get, you know, noticed out there. So,
So tell me about this. The Followers just sold, and that's going to have a theatrical release, meaning certain
according
cities.
To our distributor, yeah. So what happened is it went to Santa Monica, to the American Film Market first, and then it sold out there to the distributor out of Miami. And then what he's doing is he's currently traveling around. We know for sure that we've got deals in the four that I mentioned. And then he called us like a week and a half ago, 2 weeks, and said that they are working on a theatrical release in the U.S. He didn't say the word limited. That's my assumption because I'm just cynical, I guess. I don't like to get my hopes like too high because then inevitably you like set yourself up to be somewhat disappointed. So I'm kind of like, okay, it's probably a limited release. And if it gets anything bigger than that, then yeah.
How does it work with that? Because you say you have a distributor. I kind of thought that you just kind of went to a studio and there's only a few, TriStar, Warner Brothers, you know, a few of them, Lionsgate.
Right.
So I guess there's quite a few, I guess. But I thought you just kind of, they would buy them if they wanted them.
I mean, if you got Warner Bros. to purchase your movie, I think you're pretty much set. You're in there like swimwear. But with distributors, quite literally, like anybody can be a distributor, especially in the digital age now. You can be a distributor for like Amazon. You can promise people that you're going to get
there. Distributor on
YouTube. Right, exactly. So you can promise people you're going to take their project and put it online and distribute it that way. If you've got a network or you've got like a following and you can show the movie to a bunch of people, like you can pretty much be a distributor. Mm. But the distributor that we went through, I don't have like all the details and stuff. That's really up to, you know, Ryan and Ian, because they're the one working the deals with the sales agent out of LA and everything. But from what I understand, the guy purchased Followers. So now we no longer own the film, and then he resells it to markets.
I see.
And other areas.
So he's kind of like a broker in between.
So I imagine he's, you know, this is where it's like over my head. He's reaching out to some organization here in the U.S. to try and figure out a way to distribute into major cities.
So you couldn't just make a movie and then call up Baywalk Theater and be like, hey, I have this movie. Do you want to show it in your theater type of thing?
From my understanding, sure you can, because money talks. So if you want to make a movie and then call up, you know, the owner or what, GM or whoever might, you know, handle that over there. Like, I know that they hold, like, the silver screen for shorts over in the Movie Co. Theater in St. Petersburg here downtown. So from what I understand is if you finish a film, even if it's a short film, you can call them up and you tell them, hey, I'm going to bring 200 people into your theater. Can I rent out, you know, one of the screens?
Mm-hmm.
The last quote I heard is it costs, like, maybe $250 to rent out a screen.
That's not bad.
Yeah, I think if you do it ahead of the time, you just reserve the theater and then tell people when to show up.
So you could, sell tickets if you wanted to, and then
I think so.
You make an arrangement, probably, what, you get 80%, they get 20, and then they keep whatever. Because I worked in a movie
depending
theater growing up.
Depending on how slick your tongue is, yeah.
Yeah, I grew up, I worked in a movie theater growing up, and they make all their money off concessions. They don't really make any money, from ticket sales. That's all goes back to the studio. From my understanding, anyways. Unless that's changed now, I don't know.
Yours is probably better than mine. I actually have always refused to buy any kind of snacks or popcorn or anything concessions.
So good. I got to get a popcorn when I go.
Yeah.
And Cherry Coke.
Right.
Every time. But well, I can't even remember.
Can't say I blame you.
I think the last movie I saw was Rogue One, the Star Wars one.
Yeah.
When was that, last year?
Ooh.
I think before that it was Interstellar. Yeah.
I can't believe I'm about to say this, you know, on a radio show, but I've never seen a single Star Wars movie.
What?
I know.
How
and that's
did you
the
get
reaction
away with
I
that?
Get every single time. They're like, you're an actor? Like, dude,
I kind
of
think that's cool.
Face.
I kind of think that's cool, honestly.
Right. It's kind of like having, like not having tattoos nowadays.
Yeah, I don't have any, and I kind of like.
See, there you go.
I
that's
consider
cool.
getting one, and I'm like, well, I feel like I'm a blank canvas.
Like,
I got more going for me.
I'm pretty sure
that.
It's like a prerequisite to be a UFC fighter these days. Because you got to have
and live downtown, for that matter.
Right.
Yeah, just to do anything.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. Never seen Star Wars. My dad made me go see him in the movie theater. I didn't want to. But he took me to see the originals when they were re-released, and I was like, these are kind of cool. I kind of like these. So, yeah, I've seen all those. But
like, I hear super good things, and it, like, revolutionized, you know, special effects and everything, but it just never really appealed to me.
So. Well, don't see them now. Forget it. I mean, if you've been along
just,
this long.
Just stay where I am.
Because you know what?
Star Trek too, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Like the show or the movies or both?
Any of them.
Wow.
Like, I think I saw half of one of the remake or the movie of Star Trek.
Yeah.
The one J.J. Abrams did. Uh-huh. I saw like half of it. And then I didn't do anything for me.
Yeah, you're going to.
I feel like I'm going to get punched in the face randomly by one of your listeners.
If you see it now, you're going to be let down because it's been so hyped up. You know, it's like the greatest thing ever. You know, people love it. People are obsessed with it. And you're going to be like, I don't get, you know, it was all right, but I don't get what all the hype is. People did that to me with, what was it? I can't remember. But yeah, and I was just like, that show, The Wire. You got to see The Wire.
Never seen it, bro.
It's great. You got to see it. And I watched it. I watched a few episodes and I bailed on it.
Right.
I watch
that
it.
Took place on, like,
Baltimore.
Baltimore, like, shipyards and stuff, right?
I think it was just, like, 90s Baltimore because the murder rate was, like, 3 murders a day or something insane like that. Yeah.
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah. It's pretty much now down to a murder a day, but still not great there.
Right.
So before we go, I know you're working with a nonprofit now, you're telling me. Tell me what's up with that.
Yeah, so if possible, I'd like to lay down two things before I go. But I'm working with a local nonprofit called Solutionary Species. The nonprofit is Solutionary Events. Solutionary Species is going to be a company, but that's still in development. What we do is we coordinate events around the state of Florida that promote a message of peace. So ultimately, we're I'll put it this way to keep it short. Our philosophy within the nonprofit is that human beings have found a way to become somewhat of a problematic species. We make a lot of choices on a daily basis that are harming other humans, as well as animals and the environment. So that being said, we are speaking at events and providing information and inviting out vendors who we believe are solutionary certified to offer a product or service that falls in line with these views that we have, and we're trying to teach people to stop being a problematic species and kind of begin to turn into a solutionary species. That's kind of how, like, where the name came from, is that, you know, we want to provide solutions, you know, rather than perpetuate problems now. Mm-hmm. So we're doing that. You can find us at Solutionary Species on Facebook, just search that, or solutionaryevents.com to see what we're up to. And the other little shameless plug before we jump off the air here is that I just took up getting on stage. Haven't done stand-up comedy yet.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's in the near future. But I did my first spoken word performance at the Iberian Rooster downtown. And that was just recent Sunday. Went really well, and I kind of fell in love. And I was asked to be the featured artist, on June 18th, and that's at 7 p.m. It's from 7 p.m. to 9:30. I'll probably go on at about 9, but it's going to be 20 solid minutes of me spilling my heart out.
It's like poetry type stuff?
Yeah, so I write spoken word, so it's in the form of slam poetry, but it's not quite so like oomph every single time.
Yeah, less urban.
Right. it's kind of influenced, like, I'll be honest, it's a little influenced by hip-hop, but it's fun, and I did it as a passion, then I realized that people responded to it, so I decided to get on stage and do that, and now I'm going to be the first featured artist for the First Stop open mic at Iberian Rooster.
Cool.
On June 18th.
June 18th, 7 to 9:30, you said?
That's correct.
Iberian Rooster has a bunch of cool stuff going on there. They got the open. I know they do the comedy now.
Mm-hmm.
Just the stage is beautiful. The downstairs is awesome.
It's like an old school speakeasy.
Yeah.
And like the staircase leading down is just gorgeous. And like being on that stage is kind of surreal because it's, I don't know, it's such a lax atmosphere, and it's such a, like, Mona, she's the one that puts on the spoken word, or the open mic poetry.
Yeah, yeah.
She created such a safe space, and it allows people to feel comfortable, but then, like, share pieces of themselves without feeling like someone's going to judge them or laugh or whatever. And that's kind of what led me into it, is I felt like I could share something that's close to my
heart.
Is that
a concern? Would you be afraid that people would laugh?
Not necessarily. It's more of like judgment's always kind of in the back of my head.
I'm just thinking about what kind of
laughed at.
What
but,
kind of jerk would go to a poetry night?
Just, and like laugh at
just
people.
Just stand
you'd be surprised,
in the back
man.
And laugh.
Right. Like they'd probably be removed pretty quick just to retain that space
and beaten. Yeah,
or and most likely beaten.
Sure.
Like, when people hear open mic, they get on stage and they just like say whatever they want, and I don't think they realize that it can be extremely offensive if you're getting up there and you're like spouting racial slurs or like. Yeah. You know, being sexist or something like that. So mm-hmm. There's guidelines, but it is an open space.
Man, that scares me because I'm coming from doing comedy open mics where it's kind of free for all. You don't know
right.
what's good and what's not, so it's an
right.
open forum. I feel like then it would be there's restrictions and rules. That would freak me out because I'd be afraid
right.
I was going to say something.
It's not so much of like restriction. It's just like don't say anything that you wouldn't say to a stranger on the street, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know if that's it's still applicable. There's another weird one.
Yeah.
For I don't know, comedians, man. You guys, you let it rip. So
yeah, it's crazy. I've seen some of the open mics at the Iberian Rooster. I've seen some people get up and walk out.
Really?
It's kind of a weird crowd. It's like people
right.
with pink hair and short bangs,
yeah.
and I'm like, uh oh.
Dude, since we last spoke, it's actually like been in the back of my head to go out and just like watch some of the open mic comedy and just kind of see what that whole network is like.
Mm-hmm.
And I still haven't done it, and I need to. And I think it's like this dormant like fear in myself that because I've always kind of looked up to comedians because mm-hmm. it's extremely brave and it's a tough thing to do.
Yeah.
And I've always kind of wanted to try it, but then I won't even go and see it because I start getting scared that I'm going to end up on stage trying it.
Yeah. You know? Well, I'll tell you what, if you went to an open mic, you would say, okay, I should give this a try. Because some of the people that do it. I mean, and most of them are, it's a brave thing to do, but most of them, they're either really cool or nerds or both.
Right.
And we kind of have like a tight knit group there.
Right.
Everybody's,
dude,
cool.
Comedy is an art through and through. I'm the first to admit it, man. Like comedians completely, like so much respect.
It's
completely
ballsy.
Different animal.
It's definitely
yeah.
ballsy, no doubt. All right, man, we'll get out of here. Social media, people can find you.
Right. On Instagram, I post photos and stupid videos from Snapchat. You can find me at Sean the Snark on Instagram. On Twitter, it's almost pointless, but Snarky Sean, at Snarky Sean. And then Facebook, just look up Sean Gloria and you'll find me. I'm pretty open, man. If someone wants to reach out, say what's up, do it.
Cool, man. Well, appreciate you coming in. I'm sure you'll be back again soon. Thank you for listening to Homemade Broadcast this week. Thanks to Sean. Thank you, Radio St. Pete. Thank you, not Sly Bar anymore, Tap House 61. Still getting used to that. And Truly Salon and Spa. Make sure you subscribe. HMB Radio on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Facebook.com/HMB Radio. Facebook.com/Radio St. Pete. Twitter, home_made_man if you want to get a hold of me. I'll talk to you next week. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned for Frank Rivera's Jazz Show, direct from Seminole, Florida. And after that, the Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcast, thank you very much. And spread the word. Rate it. Subscribe to it. Give it 5 stars. Only takes a second. Really helps us out. Talk to you next week. Will Koontz, HMB Radio, Radio St. Pete. See ya.
Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more. Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems.
IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.